When I lived in Texas, I often heard stories about the Hunt family. You probably are familiar with the Hunts. Bunker Hunt, who was once the world's wealthiest man, is remembered as the man who attempted to corner the silver market. Do you guys remember that? If you're in the 70s and the 80s, you got to remember that story, don't you? It was a fascinating story. And so he and his two brothers, Herbert and Lamar, purchased two-thirds of the privately held silver on the entire planet, right? They wanted to drive the price of silver up and make a fortune. So they attempted to manipulate the silver market by driving, as I said, those prices up, and they did. They did. It was a very successful plan. By January of 1980, the price of silver had gone from $11 an ounce to $50 an ounce. And remember, they had two-thirds of the silver on the planet, so it was a lot of money. And then, unfortunately, their scheme collapsed because they got caught trying to manipulate the price of silver, and it dropped below $11 an ounce. These brothers, three brothers, lost billions of dollars, and eventually they filed bankruptcy. So they went from this Bunker Hunt, went from being one of the wealthiest men in the world to having only $10 million, but you know, it was a big swing for him. When he was called to testify before Congress, somebody said to Bunker Hunt, "Mr. Hunt, what is your net worth?" And he said, "I don't know." If you know your net worth, it can't be very much. I thought to myself when I read that the other day, here's a guy who was one of the wealthiest men in the world, tried to corner the silver market and got caught basically doing it. Called before Congress and had to file bankruptcy because of it. Tried to get wealthy in a devious way with the scheme that he and his brothers dreamed up. He was a selfish businessman. He was a greedy businessman. And I think we could call him a rich fool. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. If you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 12. We're going to look at this parable about the rich fool. And I'll be reading to you chapter 12, verse 13 through 21. And then we'll talk about it a little bit because it really is a fascinating parable. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, "Beware, and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive." And he began reasoning with himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now, who will own what you have prepared?' So the man who stores up treasure for himself, so is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." You may have noticed that many times while Jesus is telling stories, while he's sharing his parables, that somebody in the crowd interrupts him. Have you noticed that? They have their own agenda. They have their own thing that they want to talk about, the thing that they're concerned about. And this is what happens in this parable, isn't it? Jesus is talking to men about important things. This young man says, "Hey, help me here. My brother is not being fair to me in this inheritance." And so Jesus says to this young guy, "Man, what do I have to do with that? That's not what I'm here for. That's not what I'm about." But Jesus, as he always does, uses this opportunity to talk to people about things that are important, as he always did. He took the opportunity to spin the conversation or spin the question up to something that was really important. So this young man who wasn't satisfied with his inheritance was coming to Jesus because in those days the law said if you have a discrepancy or dispute over inheritance, a rabbi could solve that for you. He could make a judgment. And so that's why this young boy was doing this. But Jesus said, no, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to talk about something different here. I'm going to teach you a life and leadership lesson. And it's about money. It's about how you handle what God has given to you. Verse 15, beware, he says, Jesus says, beware. And be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. I mean, look around the world, men. How many men are trying to fill their barns with their possessions? So Jesus warned people, even us in our day, to beware of covetousness. That's the issue this morning, isn't it, men? Think for a minute about the world that we live in. If our government was asked to create a new set of laws, different from what we have right now, and they were 10, what would the people insist upon? What would the government do? These new laws, they might say, don't kill, that's good. They might say, don't destroy the planet. They might say, don't tell us how to live. That's what people would say, wouldn't they? But very few people would say that the 10th commandment, which is in Exodus 20, is relevant today, and that's thou shalt not covet. That probably would not be one of the new 10 laws, would it? Because our society is based on what? Covetousness. The government is built on that. Our lives are built on that. It's how much can I get? It's me, 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 me. That's what our society is built upon. And so there's nobody in our society today, or maybe few, I should say, who would say that they would not include thou shalt not covet in our top 10 laws. But in our culture, there's no prohibition on coveting, is there? Well, that's the issue that Jesus was talking about, wasn't he? Don't covet. Be satisfied with what you have. Listen to what one writer wrote. I found this absolutely fascinating. I think it is spot on. When God established a nation, he included a law against coveting in his top 10. Have you ever wondered why God in his infinite wisdom would have included a law against coveting? Maybe God knows something about what leads to stealing. Maybe God knows something about what leads to jealousy. Maybe God knows something about what leads to murder. Maybe God knows something about what leads to war. That's why he included a law against coveting. Because covetousness drives men to say these things. I want, I want, I want, I want, I want more money. I want your car, I want your house, I want your job, I want your wife even. And look around us in the world today. I want your land, I want your country. What's happening in the world today? We see it in two different wars going on right now. I want what you have for myself. You may have heard it said that covetousness is the father of greed. And it's true, isn't it? It's the father wanting more than you have and more than you need. Look around the world. How many people have so much more than they need? Hey, listen, I'm all about working hard. I'm all about, you know, doing the best you possibly can to take care of your family. That's not what this is about. This is about coveting things, wanting more than you need and not using it properly. And we're going to see that in just a minute at the end of this passage. So Jesus says to these people, this young man particularly, when he says, my brother's not being fair to me, I want more than I got, Jesus says, beware, be careful, watch out for this, for one's life does not consist of in the abundance of the things that he possesses. To be sure that the crowd understood what Jesus was saying, he told them a story, didn't he? He told him a parable, and let's get into the parable right now. And in this parable, there's a soliloquy, right? This man begins talking to himself about the things he has. Look at 16, verses 16 through 19 again. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself. He says, self, you have a lot of stuff. You have more stuff now than you ever had before. Your crops have come in. You were wealthy before, but man, I am really wealthy now. I'm so wealthy, I don't know what to do with my stuff. So I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns so I can put my stuff in my barns. Well, he's talking about crops here, but we know what he's really talking about, don't we? He's talking about stuff. Stuff in the barns. So he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear those barns down. I'm going to build me some bigger barns, and I'm going to put my grain and my goods in those. And I will say to myself, soul, you have many goods laid up for yourself for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This guy said, I'm going to hold on to my stuff. I'm going to put it in my barn so I don't have to work in the future, so I can just take it easy. And I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. It's the creed of the American culture, isn't it, men? We live in a hedonistic society where people say, I want, I'm going to get as much as I can. That's what the Hunt brothers were trying to do, weren't they? They're trying to get their stuff. They were multi-billionaires, but yet they wanted more stuff, didn't they? And so they tried to corner the silver market to get it. Unfortunately for them, it didn't work, but it could have, and it has for other men, hasn't it? Eat, drink, and be merry. Do you remember what Paul said to the people in Corinth? What do you say to them? In Corinthians 15:32, if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, you may as well eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. That's the culture of the American society, isn't it? The culture of the world. All right? Hey, I don't need Jesus. I'll take care of myself. I'll acquire. I'll fill my barns, and I will just have a party. I will eat, I will drink, and I will be merry. What did Jesus say about that? What did Paul say about that? Well, you are a man to be pitied. Because if that's all you're after, you don't know what this is all about, do you? Because if there's no Jesus and he hasn't raised, just party. There's nothing else for you to do. But we know that's not true. And here's what Jesus said about that type of hedonistic, selfish approach to life. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul will be required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? Who's going to own all that stuff in your barns? You fool, you. You can't take it with you. How much do you really need? You can't take it with you. So Jesus applies this thing now in verse 21. Here's the application. So is the man who stores up treasure for himself. It is not rich toward God. So many people are rich toward who? Themselves. They're rich toward themselves, but they're not rich toward God. The application here is not that it's not bad to be wealthy. It's not bad to have stuff and not bad to have, you know, money. But if you have all those things, but you're not rich toward God, you're not rich toward His work, the things that are important to Him, then what does God call you? A fool. Because you're using your wealth wrong in a manner to then bring glory to Him. In other words, a man who stores up treasure for himself, no matter how large or small it is not rich toward God, is not generous towards Him, the Bible says he's a fool. What did Jesus say? What if you gain the whole world and lose your what? Soul, right? So money is to be used properly. So the parable warns against three different things, right? Hey, this guy, he was selfish, wasn't he? There's no indication in this passage he was going to share his wealth with anybody. He was selfish, wasn't he? And he was greedy. He wanted more. Wanted more. Let me build some bigger barns so I get more and more and more. He's selfish. He's greedy. And worst of all, the passage says he's a fool. Think about Bunker Hunt one more time, right? These guys, they had so much money. They were billionaires. Bunker Hunt was the most wealthy man in the world at one time. But what did he want? More. 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 Right? He wanted more. Well, his scheme cost him, as I said. But I think the parable is telling us that we can fall into the same trap If we want more, 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 and we're not content with what God has given to us, then possibly we fall in this category of being a fool. Unless we use our wealth toward God. And that's what this passage says, isn't it? It's okay to have money, but don't be a fool. Be a man who stores up treasure and uses it for God. He was rich, rich, rich toward God. Take heed, Jesus says, that you aren't rich toward yourself, that you are rich toward God. That's a hard lesson, isn't it? And very, very opposite of what our society tells us to be. But that's what our Lord told this young man to be and tells us to be. Be generous. Don't be selfish. Don't be greedy. And use your money for the purposes of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, I did not plan to talk about this parable during the day of coffin giving. It just happened in God's providence. It's funny how God works that way sometimes, isn't it, man? So we have this goal of $250,000. We're at $185,000 today, so we have a ways to go. So let me just encourage, be generous. Be generous, all right? Help me. Help me to fund this ministry. Look at this picture right here. These are faces of real men. Those are real men all around the world. Almost 500,000 men come to our website annually now. They're looking for Christian leadership content. Not secular leadership content. They're searching for Christian leadership content. And they're downloading it. There are 451 unique. Unique, that means each click is a different person coming to our website. To fund that, it costs us $1.35 per person. That's what it costs. It's not much, is it? $1.35 to give these men Christian leadership content, which they are not finding anywhere else. That's what we're raising money for. Help me to hit this goal. Guys, if you've given, give a little bit more. If you haven't given, give something, all right? That's what we're doing. You guys are the tip of the spear. I've told you that before. But now we're reaching all around the world, and it's a fantastic thing that God is doing with this ministry, and you're all a part of it. I appreciate your generosity. So many of you have been really generous. Continue to be generous and help me to fund this ministry. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for this parable. It's a hard lesson for us in the U.S. because it's countercultural to the way we think, to what we have taught. But Jesus was countercultural many, many times. Help us, Father, not to be selfish. Help us not to be greedy. And Lord, help us not to be fools. Thank you for the way you've blessed us, and thank you for the way you're using us. We pray this in your Son's name, Jesus our Christ. Amen. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning, man.